Now, the Wealth Protection Diva is a successful entrepreneur, business owner, and premier business strategist, president and CEO of Sage International Incorporated, and a national speaker, best-selling author, and motivational teacher of financial education, business development, and wealth protection strategies. The joys and frustrations of being a business owner. Her insights are motivating. Her frankness inspiring. Here is Sherry Hill.
Knowing what's coming toward you is always desirable as a business owner. What if you could visualize your competitors in your markets and how customers react to their offerings? All too often in business, someone comes up with a seemingly great idea and gets fellow workers excited about it. It gets pushed into production. Producers then wait to see what the market will bear for it, often falling short of projections. What if everything you thought you knew about markets was wrong? My guest today is renowned economist Doug Howarth, who has unveiled a groundbreaking theory called hypernomics. This theory isn't just for economists, it's for anyone who wants to unlock new possibilities in wealth building. Doug's innovative thinking led to the development of software around this concept, giving birth to Hypereconomics, Inc. The company focuses on creating cutting-edge software for analyzing markets in four or more dimensions. This groundbreaking approach has garnered the attention of industry giants like NASA and Lockheed Martin, and Doug's book, Hypernomics, Using Hidden Dimensions to Solve Unseen Problems, promises to challenge conventional thinking. His website, hypernomics.com. Welcome, Doug.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for having me. It's my great honor and pleasure to be on your show, so thank you again.
Yes. Many small business owners struggle with unpredictability in their operations and sales pipeline. In today's rapidly changing business landscape, it's become more critical than ever to have a solid grasp of what the future holds and why predictability is a cornerstone of a successful business strategy. Doug, I'd like you to explain how Hypernomics introduces the big new idea that the demand for a product can be predicted in terms of its dollar value to the consumer.
Yeah, Sherry, this discovery is something I came up with basically watching my wife buy a washing machine. And when she was buying this machine, and this translates back to anybody that has real estate. So when she was buying this washing machine, as we're standing there looking at the machine, she said, I want a new machine that's got more capacity than I have at home. And you can imagine if you're looking at real estate, if you want more square footage than you have at your previous place. And so I realized that she was working the capacity versus the price, and that was a two-dimensional problem. And then she said, I want more cycles, too. We only have one general cycle. I like to have more cycles. And you can imagine cycles being kind of like acreage. If you're buying a house, say. And so cycles versus price and then capacity versus price, she was already working a 3D problem. And so we found a machine we both liked, and then she and I went to the next machine up the line, and I liked that one. And of course, it had more of everything. And I said, what about this one? And she said, it's too expensive. We can't afford it. And I realized that we were part of the quantity that was going to be sold of that machine for their given year. So that was quantity versus price. And we were part of a grand solution that was looking at the capacity, cycles, price, and quantity for a washing machine. And this translates, these forces translate to any market that you're in. So in real estate, it could be square footage and acreage and price, and then how many units do you want to buy of a certain thing. It also applies to the stock market. We've been using our software for this in the stock market for the last 4 years, and when we hit our four-year anniversary just late last month, we were doing 1.6 times the S&P 500, only getting stocks from the S&P 500. So it's a pretty powerful idea that understands that people self-aggregate their behavior in ways that we can discover and then characterize, and that's what we try to do is we try to discover the behavior and then explain what's going on.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, all my years in marketing and understanding what's mm-hmm. about value and trying to get into the mind of the consumer, technology today has come a very long way. you have the ability to really pull data that's going to help people, business owners, understand the predictability of potentially that consumer. So how does that translate into the small business owner, the restaurant, the, you know, service business?
Well, I'm glad you brought up restaurants. We have a favorite little place here, that, again, my wife and I, just down the street from where we live. Excuse me, when COVID hit, I said COVID and I started to cough.
Yeah, right.
When COVID hit a few years ago, as here in California, it hit in the late winter, early spring of 2020. And everybody had to eat outside. So if you're going to eat at all at a restaurant, because they wanted to make sure that they be worn in closed spaces. And so our favorite restaurant had you know, probably close to 100, 120 seats inside. They only had about 30 seats outside. And we were in a line to go to get in. And the line went out the door, and I looked at the seating arrangement, and I talked to the manager there. I said, "Hey, Kayla, would you like to make more money?" She said, "Sure, Doug. What do you want? What should I do?" I said, "Well, you've got too many tables of four and six and not enough tables of two." So I'd noticed that when we came in that most of the party sizes were one and two, and there were fewer tables there were fewer parties of four or more. And it turns out that if you do the research, and I did, it turns out there's twice as many parties of two as there are parties of four for restaurant meals in the United States. And so she switched out her tables and took out some tables for six and some tables for four and swapped them for tables of two. And her revenue shot up 25% in 2 months.
Mm.
So it's got some pretty simple applications that you can use, and then it gets gradually more complicated as you get deeper into it.
So when you talk about hidden dimensions, really these are dimensions that are almost in plain view. You see it because you're an economist.
Yeah, they're economic dimensions as opposed to physical dimensions. So we're not talking front, back, left, right, up, down. What we're talking about is price versus, say, number of seats versus price, say, on a railroad train. If you get on a railroad train, like, for example, the Japanese trains, they have a super-duper class, then the class is a little bit below that, and they've got one below that, and then they've got the air economy class. They have four classes. And so it's trying to separate the differences in what's being offered to people and then characterizing those differences.
We're talking about hypernomics for those that are not familiar with it. I was not familiar with it before I got introduced to Doug. But it's pretty phenomenal because when we think of marketing and people in business, Doug, how does this translate? And like, I'm in a service-based business, right? So if I'm doing hourly, or, you know, a lot of people, CPAs, attorneys, things like that. How could we use hypernomics to really understand the mind of the consumer and the value, what they're willing to pay?
Well, in the consumer industry, in services, what you're basically offering is a series of features to your consumers. So, for example, in train travel, you're offering the speed that the train goes, the distance the train goes, and the amount of space that you have when you travel. If you're in the service industry and you're trying to sell your clients, say, financial products, the financial products that you're selling have a certain value that's associated with their risk and reward and time to get that reward. And so we could measure all those things by pulling the data that you've pulled in and then the adjacent products that you could be offered, and then figure out how your product relates to the products that your competitors are offering. And if you were overpriced, interestingly enough, you might find that if you were to drop your prices, you would make more revenue and more profits. And if you do this analysis and you find out that you're underpriced, well, the simple answer is to increase your price to where it's supposed to be so that you can make more money. And that these kind of analytics let you see that in a way in which you can actually pinpoint what you need to do as opposed to guessing about what you need to do.
You have software that does this because I'm looking at, you know, my plate. I've got a lot on my plate, as do many small business owners, mm-hmm. as any business owner.
Right.
And so through, sure. obviously, your book, Hypernomics, I would understand mm-hmm. what you're talking about, but then you have the software to back up to get me to those answers.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. The book takes you from the simplest idea of market location. And what we talk about location is, when I was talking about my wife buying that washing machine and we're looking at the capacity. So if you can imagine, instead of plotting latitude and longitude for, say, a car, you plot the capacity versus the price. Instead of being east-west and north-south, it would be how much capacity on the horizontal axis, the east-west, and then the price would be the equivalent to the north-south position. So you're trying to figure out where products lie in these spaces, much like the book starts out with the example of Hansel and Gretel. When they lay these rocks down on the ground as they're trying to find their way back to their cottage, they're basically putting down a notification that I was here. And so every time somebody buys something, they're essentially giving a notice to the world that I was here. And what we do is we collect all these notices and find out what they mean in the aggregate so that we can figure out how the market responds to features that are offered to it in any market.
We have to go to break. We come back. I'm going to pick up with Doug Howarth, who has written a book called Hypernomics. I do encourage you to go out to his website, hypernomics.com. This is an awesome tool to get you to not guessing. We'll be right back.
Sage International Incorporated fosters the entrepreneurial spirit by first educating our clients. In fact, we wrote the best-selling book, Incorporate and Get Rich, as recommended by Robert Kiyosaki in his bestseller, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. For over two decades, we have taught thousands of business owners, real estate investors, professionals, and entrepreneurs how to properly structure their business and personal assets to avoid the three flaming arrows of challenge: income taxes, liability exposure, probate, and death taxes. Call Sage International Incorporated at 775-786-5515 to set up a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry Hill if you want to experience peace of mind today. That's 775-786-5515. Call Sage International.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, help, we're underwater, or the wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work.
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com. Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today. Natakwa. Natakwa. Natakwa.
Natakwa. Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in to the Sherry Hill Show. A thought leader in the field of economics, Doug Howarth, my guest, has disrupted the classic paradigm of supply and demand with his proven multidimensional economic platform based on the law of value and demand. Spearheading a paradigm shift in global economic theory, Doug is the recipient of numerous international accolades, including being awarded by the ICEAA, the International Cost Estimating and Analysis Association. His book, Hypernomics, Using Hidden Dimensions to Solve Unseen Problems, promises to challenge the conventional thinking that supply and demand was all that mattered. Hypernomics has successfully shattered that myth. The website is hypernomics.com. So, Doug, because this is really new to most of us, this theory has been around for a long time, but you're the one that actually put it together and you've patented some things and you've developed software to really cut to the chase to help businesses really get to, you know, what are people doing? How do you value your products and services based on the data? Let's talk quickly about the fact that this exists. I read a lot of your testimonials that this works. Tell me about someone who knew that you existed but didn't use your platform or thought process.
Well, interestingly, Sherry, I know you're up in the Nevada-Reno area, and I had worked 30 years at Lockheed Martin Skunk Works. I left, came up with this idea, and started to pursue it. And a guy with whom I had worked up there at the Skunk Works went to work for a company called Arion Aerospace. Now, Arion was put up by Robert Bass. He's one of the Bass brothers out of Fort Worth, Texas. He was a billionaire. And Ariane's idea was to build the Ariane AS2, which is going to be a supersonic business jet. And it was going to go close to 1,000 miles per hour and carry 10 people and you know, go across the Atlantic if it wanted to. And so we looked at their cost that they proposed for this, and the cost seemed reasonable. And we looked at the price that they were proposing for this thing, which was $120 million each. Now, to put that in perspective, you can get a Boeing 737 airliner converted to a business jet for $100 million, a very nice one, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to charge $120 million, but based on the speed, it was actually worth that. But what he didn't look at was the demand. And so their company said that they wanted to build 300 of these guys, AS2s, in a decade and 500 overall. Well, I went out and did some research and discovered that when they launched, they launched with 20 orders, only 20 firm orders. Now, when Boeing and Airbus launch a new program, they typically launch with several hundred orders, so they're guaranteed a profit if they can make the plane properly. But Robert Bass and Ariane launched with 20 orders, and they went along, and then 5 years later, they still had the same 20 orders. And my research showed that when they started, they might have supposed that they were going to get about 47 sales at their price. And 5 years later, the demand curve, what we call the frontier, was moving in their direction. And they might have had as many as 63 orders. But they wanted to have 300, and they held 20. So I wrote a little piece on LinkedIn entitled, "Worth Every Penny, Not Enough Pennies," basically saying that, yeah, you got the price right, but there's not enough people in the world for you to make that your sales target, so you're gonna go under. And I got an angry response from somebody I knew back at Lockheed, who didn't believe this analysis, and he basically said, "Wow, we just got this big order in, you're completely wet. We're gonna make it." And I said, "Well, good luck to you." He didn't bother to tell me they were what they call options, which means that if it flew, they would buy it, and that's different than a firm order like they usually get for the airline. Anyway, long story short, 6 months later, they declared bankruptcy.
Mm.
And the reason they went bankrupt is they didn't bother to figure out what their demand limits were as they started, and they went under.
We know the stats for businesses that start and within the first year or two fail, and on we go. If somebody comes up with a great idea, and that old mantra, if we build it, they will come, I mean,
right.
Today, it doesn't have to be that way, because you have the tool, the software that you've created, that's really going to cut to the chase to help people understand what is your market, what's your competition, what has been the purchasing thought process behind the consumer for quite some time. Am I correct?
Yes, you're exactly correct. And you know, the plus side of this, Sherry, I mean, it can tell people when they're wrong, but it also can point people to how they can be right. So what the software does is it recognizes the market limits, and it realizes what people have been paying for, but it finds in the market what people want, don't have, and can afford. What people want, don't have, and can afford. Now, that's crucial to this whole idea here. So people may, in the case of that business jet, they may want the business jet. It turned out they couldn't afford in the numbers that they wanted. They couldn't afford that business jet. So one of the companies that's really good about figuring out the open spaces in the market is Tesla. So Tesla started out making electric cars and helped form the market. And they had some really powerful cars at the beginning, back in the mid-2010s. They began having their Model S's, and they had 400 horsepower, where nobody else had as much as 200 horsepower. And eventually they grew to 1,000 horsepower, but what the Tesla company figured out was that somewhere between the 1,000 horsepower cars and the 200 horsepower cars, there was room for the 300 and 400 horsepower cars. And so they put out a bunch of those, and that eventually became the Model 3, the Model Y. And that the Model 3 here is the highest selling car in California. So what Tesla did is they found an open space in the market that had demonstrated that people wanted a car like that, they could afford it, and they were going to go ahead and buy it.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember an old story, a guy that owned a grocery store, and he wanted to figure out the pattern right, of what were people buying, what aisle. So when everyone came in, he gave them a bag of peanuts, right? And then after the day was done, he just tracked where were all the peanut shells. He could tell which aisles were visited. So, Doug, you have taken the peanut shell theory of understanding consumer purchasing power.
Oh, you're exactly right, Sherry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what this is. People are leaving little trails. That's
right.
Your grocery store guy was exactly right. There are people leaving trails. That's the reason this book starts with Hansel and Gretel. Because Hansel and Gretel actually knew a little bit about market economics. You know, bless their hearts, as they would say in the South.
Yeah, so I don't need to be an economist to understand hypernomics, right, Doug? I mean, you've drilled this down to where, as I said, there's a lot of hidden dimensions that you're using to solve these unseen problems. But when you really get down to it, it's stuff that I would have had to have spent a lot of time to figure out. But when I understand what I'm actually looking for, that's where you come in.
Well, the way I like to characterize it, Sherry, is almost exactly what you just said. It takes what you already know. I mean, you already know, going back to the washing machine, the bigger ones, you know, with bigger drums cost more than little ones, and ones with more cycles cost more than ones that have fewer cycles, and you know that there are fewer expensive ones sold than ones that are less expensive. It basically takes all that stuff you already know, and it jams it into a picture that lets you explore that market in ways you haven't seen. So it basically reveals the market anatomy to the people that need to understand the market anatomy.
Right. Because this is like really marketing at its core. And Doug, you have a team. I mean, you have a full team that's really helping these businesses. Mm-hmm. I know you work with a lot of big companies. Do you do work with smaller companies?
Yeah, we're doing work right now for a company that's making a travel trailer, and they're making it out of lightweight composites. And so they want to figure out what the added value is to the consumer by having a trailer that's so lightweight you don't have to get a new car to tow it. So we like to say it works from everything from ground beef to train travel to spaceships.
Very
that's
nice.
How we like to characterize it.
Yeah, so if somebody wants to get a hold of you, I'm going to encourage them to go out to your website, hypernomics.com. Also, your book, uh-huh. Hypernomics, is available on the big platforms.
Yeah, Amazon, Walmart, yep, Barnes & Noble.
Doug, give me a final thought, because, you know, this is new information for people, yet it really is the core of what I would say marketing to accelerate your ability to grow profits and your business.
Yeah, my final thought would be that Dr. Clayton Christensen of Harvard once said that 95% of all new product ideas fail, which is another way of saying is that 5% of all new product ideas succeed. And Hypernomics was designed to take that 5% of the successful products up to 6% and then 7% and then on and on to make the personal businesses more successful on average and make the economy more successful on average. So it's a breakthrough thinking that describes behaviors that have existed since the beginning of mankind. And we find it irrefutable, but also very important for the world economy. So I encourage everybody to go out and take a look at it for themselves.
Well, and I like the fact that it builds in, as I open the show with, some predictability. I want to thank Doug Howarth, who has been my guest today. He is one of the founders of Hyper Economics, Inc. Website again, hypernomics.com. Get his book. Understand what we're talking about. I find this fascinating. I'm not done with my research, Doug, so I want to thank you for introducing me to this topic. Nice to meet you. You invent anything else or something you want to share with my audience, you're always welcome to reach back out, okay?
All right, great.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Really appreciate it.
And I want to thank everyone for tuning into the Sherry Hill Show, where business is amplified.
The Sherry Hill Show values the role we play in supporting the economic engine driving this country. Small business, the backbone of America. And tune in next week, same time, same station, for the Sherry Hill Show.
Sage International Incorporated is proud to be celebrating years in business. We believe if you know the way, you must light it for others. Owning a business can be hard, demanding, and even bizarre. At Sage International, our passion centers on education, which is based on our own experiences of building a company from scratch, along with the insights gained from the thousands of clients we have served. If you are a business owner, real estate investor, professional or entrepreneur and not sure how to properly structure your business and personal assets to safely grow, protect, and leverage your hard-earned wealth from the three flaming arrows of challenge, income taxes, liability exposure, probate, and estate taxes, then call Sage International Incorporated at 775-786-5515 to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry Hill today. That's 775-786-5515. Call Sage International.
Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today. Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today.
Natakwa.
Natakwa. Natakwa.
This is Peter from Nevada Real Estate Radio. I talk about the subjects that help you as a home buyer, seller, or investor. Some people might just focus on the negative things, so guess where they're going? We do it differently. We focus on the positive aspects of today's real estate opportunities. You might have to navigate through some murky waters, but we're here to help you achieve success. Nevada Real Estate Radio, Thursdays, 3 p.m. on 93.7 FM. Nevada Real Estate Radio.